Well, hello and welcome. I'm glad that you've joined us. It's always a great time for us to be able to be together with the Lord, and I hope that these times are helping you grow in your walk and your relationship with the Lord. And I hope that you're having a great day today. It's an absolutely beautiful day. It was cold over the weekend, but it's cleared off and it's warming up and everything's turning green. It's an absolutely beautiful day. And I'm thankful God has given us this time to meet with Him. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make these times possible and for you to be able to benefit from them and watch them. But most of all, I thank our Lord for loving us enough to bring us to Himself, for desiring for us to know Him, and for bringing us here today. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for the day that You have given to us, O Lord. And Father, we thank You most of all, O God, for Your love for us. Father, that You loved us in spite of our sins. You sent Your Son to die and rise again for our sins. You've adopted us as Your children. Father, You want us to know You, O God, to have a relationship with You. And Father, we want to grow in that relationship. Speak to us today, Lord. Open our minds and our hearts. Give us understanding. Father, show us how the psalm applies to our life, to our walk. Help us to know You and Your ways. Strengthen us, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We know one of the most amazing truths that we find in God's Word is the fact that through Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, we're actually adopted into God's family. We actually become God's children. And as children, we experience His love, His goodness, His kindness, His provision. But also, we also experience His discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 6 tell us, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives." As His children, we do experience His discipline. Now, His purpose in that is not a payback. It's to stop us from being on the wrong direction that we're going on, to get us to stop, to get us to turn back to Him, to bring us back to Himself. And the severity of that discipline really depends on us. If we allow God to get our attention very quickly, then it will not be very severe. He will have accomplished His purpose of bringing us back to Himself. But if we, like, say, ancient Israel, continue to harden our heart, refuse to hear, refuse to listen, refuse to turn, God's, in fact, going to increase the leverage. This is the experience of Judah and Jerusalem. They forced God's severity in judgment. You think of what we read, and we're in Psalm 79 today, but you think of what we read in Psalm 79, verses 1 through 7. Obviously, tremendous, severe discipline because they did not hear or heed. Just like if we don't hear or heed, we will put God to the test, and God will, in fact, act. But notice what we read, and it's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. "Oh God, the nations have invaded Your inheritance. They have defiled Your holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. They have given the dead bodies of Your servants for food to the birds of the heavens, the flesh of Your godly ones to the beasts of the earth. They have poured out their blood like water round about Jerusalem, and there's no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scoffing and a derision to those around us. How long, O Lord, will You be angry forever? Will Your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out Your wrath upon the nations which do not know You and upon the kingdoms which do not call upon Your name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his habitation." Awful, severe judgment. And again, brought about because of their refusal to hear and heed God's warnings and the increase in the leverage that He placed upon them. They put Him to the test. But what did they need to do now? What do they need to do now that God has in fact gotten their attention? What is it that we need to do if we've come to a point and God has now gotten our attention? Hopefully we didn't make God exert much leverage upon us. Maybe just a gentle conviction of the heart. But whatever the case may be, what is it that we need to do at this point? if we've in fact come under the discipline of God. Well, look at what we see in verses 8 through 13. Do not remember the iniquities of our forefathers against us. Let your compassion come quickly to meet us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Let there be known among the nations in our sight vengeance for the blood of your servants which has been shed. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you. According to the greatness of your power, preserve those who are doomed to die. And return to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom the reproach with which they have reproached you, O Lord. So we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. To all generations we will tell your praise. What is it we need to do when God's discipline has in fact worked and he has now gotten our attention? Well, the first thing is obviously the fact that we need to confess our sins. Our sins, you know, whether it's one or whether it's plural. You think of what we see in the latter part of verse 9. Deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. An open, honest dealing with sin. No doubt you've heard, probably even memorized, 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word confess there means that we say the same thing. We say the same thing about our sin that God does. And by the way, this would imply not only that the surface sin that we committed, but the underlying sin or sins that would lead to it. John Snyder refers to these as fruit sins and root sins. And if we're truly going to deal with our sin, we need to deal with both the sin we committed, but the underlying sin or sins that caused us or tempted us to commit that sin. Sins such as pride, such as unbelief, such as worldliness. Those things will help prompt us to commit other sins. And so we need to honestly deal with those things. And I want you to think, as we're here this right now before the Lord, for me it's this afternoon, but you may be watching it in the evening or even in the morning, whatever time it is for you. Is there something between you or the Lord that needs to be dealt with? Now, obviously, we're talking in all this about a believer. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to place your faith and trust in him and be born again. But we're talking here about believers. Child of God, is there something between you or God that needs to be confessed, that needs to be dealt with? It may have been in your thinking, your speaking, your acting, whatever the case may be. Is there sin or sins, both fruit and root, cause and effect, that need to be dealt with? When God has in fact gotten our attention, we need to confess that. And the sooner the better. You know, again, you know, using the illustration of a parent and child, because that's what we are when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. We become the Father's children. You know, the longer, when a child's done something wrong, the longer they try to wait to deal with it, or the more they try to cover it up, the worse it gets. It's the same with us in our walk with the Lord. It needs to be dealt with as quickly as possible. It needs to be dealt with now. Again, if there's anything between you and the Savior, anything that's causing a problem, it needs to be dealt with. But then, number two, we need to trust God's grace. Yes, we need to confess it, and our basis for doing that is, in fact, God's wonderful grace. The fact that through Jesus Christ, through Christ dying upon the cross, his shed blood covers our every sin. And as we just talked about in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to the promises, the covenants that he's made to us. He is just. The reason he can forgive is not because he's just glossing it over or choosing to ignore it, because in his righteousness he can't do that. But he is just. The penalty for that sin, the price for it, was in fact poured out upon Christ in full. Yes, there may be consequences that we experience, but the price has in fact been poured out upon Jesus Christ. And by the way, this ought to help us see really just how serious our sin is. You think about the one that we are sinning against. His love, His grace, His kindness, His mercy, that's the one we're sinning against. And yet, this wonderful God through His grace has made a way for us to be cleansed, for us to be forgiven, and we need to rest on His grace. It's not because we bring anything to the equation. It's in fact all of Him, and we need to trust what He's done through Christ. But then also notice, thirdly, we need to submit to God, that is, recognize His authority. When we confess our sin, there's also the implication there that we are now returning back to follow in obedience unto Him in general, but especially in that area that we sinned against. That we're going to stop doing whatever it was that we were doing that wasn't right, or that we're going to begin doing whatever we should have been doing all along. Again, you think about what we read here in verse 9. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of Your name, and deliver us and forgive us our sins for Your name's sake, for the glory of Your name, meaning that from this point, Lord, we want to live in a way that pleases and honors and glorifies You. We now want to live for Him. You think of what we see in verse 13. So we, Your people, and the sheep of Your pasture, will give thanks to You forever. To all generations, we will tell of Your praise. Once more, the imagery of a shepherd and his sheep. That wonderful picture of being in a place of protection and provision and being watched over and cared for and loved. And yet, what is absolutely essential for a sheep to know the care of the shepherd? He's got to be willing to follow. He's got to be close to the shepherd. And so as we truly deal with our sin, when God's discipline takes effect, there needs to be the confession. We rest upon His grace, but there needs to be the returning to walking in obedience unto Him and following Him like a sheep with the shepherd, because it's only then that we'll know His guidance, His love, His care, His tenderness. But we have to be willing to, in fact, follow Him. But then look at the last thing that we see in this psalm. We need to trust God's work. You know, so many times when we look at what we've done, we have the tendency to think that from that point on, it's hopeless, it's helpless, nothing will ever be good again. And I'm not denying that there aren't consequences to sin. Certainly there are. But we must never, ever, ever underestimate God's desire to yet make something beautiful out of a life that has humbly sought Him and returned to Him. You think of what we see in verses 6 through 7. Pour out Your wrath upon the nations which do not know You, and the kingdoms which do not call upon Your name, for they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his habitation. In other words, God, You intervene and You make this thing right. Look at verses 10 through 12. Why should the nations say, "Where is their God? Let there be known among the nations in our sight vengeance for the blood of Your servants which has been shed. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before You. According to the greatness of Your power, preserve those who are doomed to die, and return to our neighbor sevenfold into their bosom the reproach with which they have reproached You, O Lord." He's wanting God's righteous intervention. Yes, God used Assyria for the northern kingdom. He used Babylon for the southern kingdom of Judah. And yet God intervened and dealt with both of them, and God restored His people, and God yet has a future restoration for the nation of Israel that will fulfill all of His prophetic plans. But what they're saying there is, O God, restore us. When we return to the Lord, we need to trust God from that point as to what He will do. You think about what we read in Joel chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, when God again dealt with the nation because of their sin. This is actually earlier on, but you think about the promise that He made, actually looking ahead for where we're reading now. But you think of what we see in Joel 2, 23 through 25. So rejoice, O sons of Zion, and be glad in the Lord your God, for He has given you the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you the rain. The early and the latter rain is before. The threshing floors will be full of grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. Then I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust, my great army which I sent among you. God fully intends to bless his people going forward. He fully intends to bless you going forward if you will return to him. Yes, many times there are consequences to sin, there's no doubt. But there's yet something beautiful that God will make out of your life if you give him that opportunity. Let him work it out. Trust him. Trust his work. Trust the shepherd. He will yet lead you to green pastures, still waters. He will yet make your cup overflow if you'll but trust him. Yes, God disciplines his children. That's not the end of the road. He does that to get their attention. He does it to bring them once more back into fellowship, and as they're in fellowship, once more in his blessing. And so again, I want to ask you, is there something between you and the Lord that needs to be dealt with? Now again, if you're not a believer, you need to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Be forgiven of your sins and born again. But this is for Christians. This is for those who are born again. Is there something between you and the Lord that needs to be dealt with? Meet with the Father. Confess that to him. Submit unto him. Let him bless you and lead you from this point. Let him show you the goodness of his loving heart towards you. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and this time with you. Lord, if there's anything between us and you, may we deal with that, Lord. And once more, be in fellowship with you, tasting the riches of your grace, O God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope as you go through today that you do go through it in fellowship with the Lord, that you know the shepherd's love and care, that you let him lead you into his goodness and his richness, and that you have a great day in him.